A House committee gets tough with the NLRB. Mexican troops have crossed the U.S. border again. And it's a great time to be buying stock, even your own. This is Arrow News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Arrowcast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, August 9th, 2011. Making good on an earlier warning, U.S. House Oversight and Government Reform Committee Chairman Daryl Issa, a California Republican, has issued a subpoena to the National Labor Relations Board and its acting general counsel, Leif Solomon, as part of an investigation into the board's action against the Boeing Company. The subpoena compels NLRB to comply with earlier outstanding committee document requests submitted back in May by no later than noon Eastern Time this Friday. Issa observes, quote, NLRB's action in the case against Boeing has the potential to create a job-killing precedent just as U.S. manufacturers are working toward economic recovery, that a Washington, D.C.-based bureaucracy could dictate the work location and parameters for a world-leading company is unprecedented in a global economy and hobbles a leading American job creator at a time of economic vulnerability. President Obama and both Democratic and Republican members of Congress have questioned the wisdom behind NLRB's actions against Boeing, as this matter could take years to resolve and create even more crippling uncertainty for job creators. It is imperative that Congress get complete facts about NLRB's rationale and its decision-making process in this matter without further delay, unquote. The latest in a number of border violations by the Mexican military was reported Saturday afternoon when a helicopter carrying an unspecified number of occupants landed at Laredo International Airport in Texas. Mucia Dovalina, the uniformed public affairs officer for the Laredo Port of Entry, told the Houston Chronicle the landing was made about 3 p.m. local time. Officials have not said whether the occupants were armed. Dovalina says U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers processed the occupants and allowed them to return to Mexico in the aircraft. CBP says the pilot mistook the Laredo, Texas International Airport, which has three runways, for a single landing strip in Nuevo Laredo, apparently missing the Rio Grande as it was crossed, a pretty significant error in pilotage on both counts. The Mexican military has been increasing troop deployments in northeastern Mexico in its war on drug cartels, and such inadvertent errors as Saturday's have been increasing. The Chronicle reports the Mexican military announced last week that it has wrapped up an operation called Lincha Norte, or Northern Lynx, a 20-day assault on the Zetas drug cartel involving 4,000 troops, deployed mostly in states bordering Texas. CNN is reporting that the American commandos who died when their helicopter was apparently shot down in eastern Afghanistan early Saturday morning were targeting a Taliban commander directly responsible for attacks on U.S. troops, according to military officials with knowledge of the operation. The crash killed 38, 30 of them U.S. service members, making the incident the deadliest single day for Americans in the conflict officially known as Operation Enduring Freedom. Among the dead were 22 Navy SEALs who were being flown in to assist an Army Rangers unit pinned down by enemy fire in Wardak Province. The military officials who spoke on condition of anonymity said the current location of the Taliban leader targeted is unclear. A U.S. official confirmed the majority of the SEALs killed Saturday belonged to the same covert Team 6 that conducted the May raid that killed Osama bin Laden, though none of the individuals who actually participated in that raid were on the helicopter that went down. The Taliban has admitted responsibility for Saturday's attack, saying it was accomplished using a rocket-propelled grenade. A second NATO helicopter has made what's been described as a hard landing in the eastern portion of the country. The latest incident did not result in any casualties. The British newspaper The Guardian reports that a NATO investigation has been launched into the incident, but International Security Assistance Force spokesman Lieutenant Colonel David Doherty said there was no enemy activity in the area where the helicopter, also a Chinook, went down. That's contrary to a text message sent by the Taliban to Reuters claiming it had shot down the aircraft with 33 casualties. The FAA has responded to a rapid increase in the pace of development of alternative fuels for aircraft with an updated version of a 25-year-old advisory circular, AC-2024B. The new AC-2024C took almost a year to finalize, including public comments. It's dated July 29, 2011, but is just now showing up in electronic document databases. The new AC specifically accepts military, ASTM, and other industry consensus standards as acceptable for defining fuels and oils for turbine engines as well as piston engines made by TCM and Lycoming, and makes it clear that other standards are acceptable as well to the FAA, provided they adequately define performance and how it's to be measured. The complexity of the topic is underlined by many of the public comments, which mischaracterized the circular as a regulation, or saw it as a requirement to use ASTM's process. It's not. The new guidance allows definitions of new fuels based on performance criteria without regard to the feedstocks used to create them. This may lower the barriers to introductions of drop-in fuels made from biomass for both turbines and piston engines. It also provides a system for commonality and specifications for developing type certificates and STCs for fuels which may not work fleet-wide. While traditional fossil-based oils used for engine lubrication are considered a lower priority for phase-out for both economic and environmental reasons, the new AC2024C also covers their specifications. With the battering taken by stocks in the last few days, many analysts are urging clients to take advantage of the buying opportunity. The board of Southwest Airlines is doing just that, buying back its own stock. The board has authorized a buyback of up to $500 million of its own common stock to enhance shareholder value. Repurchases will be made in accordance with applicable securities laws in open market or private transactions, depending on market conditions, and may be discontinued at any time. A similar $500 million buyback program was authorized in January of 2008, just before the economy tanked, but it was suspended the following month after only 4.4 million shares had been repurchased, costing a total of $54 million. Southwest currently has about 804 million shares of common stock outstanding. Up next on ANN, an Illinois FBO loses a federal suit against its landlord. Northrop Grumman lands more Hawkeye contracts. And look, those F-16 pilots think my J-3 is cute. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, August 9th. I'm Paul Plack. A federal complaint by DeKalb Aviation in Illinois, which claimed its constitutional protection against unreasonable search and seizure under the Fourth Amendment was violated by the city of DeKalb back in December, has had its lawsuit dismissed. Local news site DailyChronicle.com reports the city declared the FBO in default of the terms of its lease for not storing and selling fuel as required and after it didn't pay its November rent at DeKalb Taylor Municipal Airport, where it had operated since 2008. As landlords often do in cases of deadbeat tenants, the city changed the locks and seized the company's property pending settlement. DeKalb Aviation responded in January with a lawsuit against the city of DeKalb, various city officials, and airport manager Tom Cleveland, claiming the action constituted unreasonable search and seizure. Judge Frederick Coppola of the Northern District of the U.S. District Court asserted in his ruling, quote, "In this case, even taking all of plaintiff's allegations as true, the seizure of the plaintiff's personal property from the disputed property was not unreasonable. Plaintiff's failure to pay the November 2010 rent constituted a default under the lease agreement," unquote. Coppola's ruling dealt with only two of the six counts in the FBO's lawsuit that were covered by federal law. Four additional counts were dismissed without prejudice because the judge decided they should be pursued in state courts. The city's March countersuit, seeking damages from DeKalb Aviation for unpaid rent and failure to store and sell fuel as required by its contract, has also been dismissed. Attorney Joni Ray Wimmer, who has represented DeKalb Aviation, says a decision on an appeal has not yet been made. DeKalb Mayor Chris Paulvelson says he feels positive for the city. Quote, "We felt pretty strongly that it wasn't a legitimate case to begin with," unquote. Airbus reports that Cebu Pacific of the Philippines has finalized a firm order for the purchase of 30 A321neo aircraft. The contract firms up an MOU signed in June and increases Cebu's total firm orders for the A320 family to 71, of which 16 have already been delivered. Cebu Pacific plans to configure its A321neo fleet with 220 seats in a single-class layout. The airline will make a decision on its engine selection for the aircraft at a later date. Northrop Grumman Corporation says it has been awarded $795 million in contracts by the U.S. Navy for the E-2D Advanced Hawkeye program. Under a sole-source, firm-fixed-price $761 million contract, the company will manufacture and deliver 5 low-rate initial production Lot 3 E-2D Advanced Hawkeye aircraft to the Navy. Also under the contract are long lead materials for 5 more Hawkeyes. Northrop Grumman also received a $34 million modification to a previously awarded contract for the procurement of 1 additional E-2D Advanced Hawkeye Lot 2 aircraft. To date, Northrop Grumman has delivered 5 E-2Ds to the Navy. An additional 6 are in various stages of manufacturing and pre-delivery flight test as the program moves toward full-rate production. And finally today, President Obama's 50th birthday Friday didn't turn out to be a good day for him in the news cycle. It also wasn't a good day for 75-year-old Myrtle Rose. The active pilot says she hadn't flown her pretty blue J3 Cub in weeks, and she looked out the window and saw a sunny day beckoning in the Chicago area. Myrtle says she always checks for NOTAMs, but her computer wasn't working Friday, so she just went and flew into restricted airspace around President Obama's birthday party. NORAD scrambled a pair of F-16s to intercept Myrtle, but she didn't have her radio turned on. She told the Associated Press she saw the fighters, but, quote, "I thought, oh, well, they're just looking at how cute the Cub is," unquote. When she eventually landed on an airstrip on the outskirts of Chicago, police were waiting, and NORAD is not amused. Agency spokesman Stacy Knott told the AP, quote, "The biggest thing to keep in mind is that when F-16s come screaming up to you, they're probably trying to tell you something," unquote. Myrtle says she's filed a report with the FAA. She could face actions ranging from a warning to a fine or certificate suspension. Thankfully, at least she wasn't carrying more than 3 ounces of shampoo. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.